Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap-Up Podcast. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I can't imagine you picking any other podcast co-host because, like, I'm so talented and cute and fun and loyal and smart and great, and I have great fashion sense, and I just don't think anyone else in this room can compare to me. Like, they just can't. I mean, I'm not in a room with anyone else currently, but
you bring the most joy to the room.
I truly
People
do.
Would be really sad if you left that room. You know, everyone can't argue with you. This was an interesting one. This was our resolution to last week. And yeah, looking forward to finishing up these Victoria impressions. She was finally let go, but not without, you know, having her last word, I guess.
What a surprise. Victoria can't leave a room without the last word.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you like how Matt just like didn't say anything? Like, you were saying that we just wouldn't even mention her this week. I feel like we have to at least allude to her exit since it did, you know, create some of the storyline on the way out. But as much as we may not want to.
Yeah, like I'm looking forward to never having to talk to her again until the women tell all. Right. When she tries to like come on and atone for her behavior, but this isn't who she is, and Anna's gonna say this isn't who she is, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah, have there been Instagram statements by either of these two? I actually thought Anna deleted her Instagram.
I haven't. Listen, don't cyberbully these people. Mm-hmm. Don't comment remote comments on their things. Don't tweet at them. Don't do anything. Literally just ignore them. Just be like, well, that person was on my TV and now they're not anymore. Great for both of us. And just move on. Mm-hmm. Don't tweet me things to people.
Exactly.
Don't sink to their level.
Right. I was just thinking if they had like come out with any statements or anything, or if they're just like leaning into it. Were you surprised that Victoria didn't like lean into it on the way out? Like, she actually acted as though she didn't do anything.
But because I don't, like, I'm not of the camp where I think Victoria was playing it up for the cameras.
Right.
Like, I think that's just who she is.
So you think it didn't register with her that she was to that degree, or she really thought it was playful, or she was just trying to cover her ass?
I think she just, like, thought it wasn't going to get back to her. She'd, like... Mm. She could say whatever she wanted without consequences, and she was just trying to backtrack when she realized that what she said was viewed as not okay.
Right. Right.
Because a lot of it doesn't, like, I get it. Some of it feels jokey, but like some of it doesn't. And if you're throwing out those things to people that you haven't developed a close bond with, then it doesn't come off as comedy.
Right.
Like when Victoria took off Catalina's crown, that doesn't
it's just
read
playful.
As comedy.
That was just playful. Oh my gosh.
No, it wasn't. It was just, it was just malicious. It was.
Yeah. And something that wasn't even
belittle her, and Catalina had that look in her eyes of like, oh shoot. Right. What did I get myself into?
Mm-hmm. And we even learned something that she said to Ryan that was not shown before, but we find out from Ryan what she said directly to her. So Yeah, there's not like one little thing that could maybe be misconstrued. It was like an ongoing thing. And the episode, I think it opens with, was it Victoria and Anna walking together? Victoria and
Kit?
Kit, okay. So still talking about, you know, like, oh, she's trash. And, you know,
Victoria. And Kit tried, like, I guess, I wouldn't say Kit tried to be like, Victoria, don't say that.
Yeah.
She was just like, be careful who's listening or whatever.
Right, right. Oh, they're coming this way kind of thing. So, yeah, it was more than one person kind of engaging this, but kind of two main offenders, it seems like. So, we kind of open the episode with that, sort of leading in, and it starts off right away with a cocktail party. Doesn't really become a cocktail party. It's more of an investigation. So Matt makes a statement to the group. He kind of comes in more somber, greets the group, and says that, you know, I've heard some things about a toxic environment and some rumors being spread that could potentially ruin someone's life. And then we see Anna's face. Like, she knows immediately that it's her. But we also see some other people looking a little bit guilty, looking around the room. And then he grabs Brittany first to talk. So I think that if Anna didn't already know, then she knows. And it looks like Victoria is just trying to pin everything on Anna. Like, oh, okay, so you know it's you. It's you then, right? So
yeah.
What did you think of the different reactions in the room?
It all felt like people who didn't want the blame placed on them, even though they may have had a hand in the situation.
Mm-hmm. Like, kind of asking around, kind of like, where'd this come from? I don't think it's toxic. Seemed like there's a lot of curiosity about who said it. And then other people, seemed like there were at least a couple women that maybe were like unaware. I don't know how you could be like totally unaware of the environment. I guess you're not all living in the exact same house, but we did see Serena P speak up, and I did appreciate what she said about like, well, I had no idea it was to this degree. I'm really sorry you guys felt that way. And it didn't seem like she was ever involved, wasn't on a group date kind of on that offending week, I don't think. So there probably were a few like people that were really like on the periphery of it.
And I think it's hard. I think it's harder, like you say, because they're not really in a house. Like, I don't think they're spending as much time in common areas as in other seasons. If it feels like the common areas are for like scheduled conversations and that's it.
Right.
It seems like the girls are more like going to rooms and hanging out or going for walks and stuff. Like, it's not. And if those aren't the people you're hanging out with, well, then you're not really hearing that. You're not really getting into it. And like, there seems like there's a couple women who are just like, I'm not getting involved with this. Like, I'm not talking to them. Like, I'm not messing around here.
Yeah. So they weren't stopping it, but they weren't. Yeah. They weren't hanging out with those people, or they weren't. It does seem like they kind of have their own, now that we saw that kind of walk that they had, there were kind of groups of two going around. You could think about like, they probably have a gym that they can access, and they're not all going to be there at the same time. So they have a lot more freedom, which is maybe one of the perks of the season when you don't get to travel, that at least you get some privacy. But then kind of the downside is that they're not maybe having the distraction of like a fun place to go, and it's just breeding this really toxic environment. So he talks to Brittany, and she, you know, talks about what Anna said, so he knows. So I don't think Katie didn't name any names of people, except Brittany, right? That the rumor was about Brittany, but didn't say like who was saying it. But Brittany mentions what Anna had said. And he just, I don't know, I really liked his reaction. He could see that she was like a different person, like it had really, really affected her for her short time there. And that he wanted to get to the bottom of it. And then he, did he call Anna, or did she like go up to him right away after?
I think he called her.
Yeah. Because she was sort of like strategizing, like, what do I do? What should I say? But she was immediately remorseful. I've seen people kind of praising how she handled it in the, like, her apology and kind of like taking responsibility for it.
I'm glad she took responsibility for it. And I really believe, or maybe I just really hope that Anna is going to learn a lot from this experience. She's mm-hmm. going to take this as a teaching moment. And I don't feel like she's going to try and play the victim in it. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to be like, this is the bet I made. Now I have to lay in it. And that's what I hope, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she said it was an out of character moment and she regretted it as soon as she said it. The one thing that made me, like, gave me pause is that it wasn't just like a one time thing she said and then like stopped saying it, you know? Like, we mm-hmm. saw her kind of multiple times and laughing with Victoria about it. So I think maybe she was still thinking about, like, okay, this is the one time I said it when the whole group heard, which she did, like, expose it to the whole group in front of Brittany, I think, is what Brittany had said. So everybody knew. But I think probably watching back last week's episode would make her even more, like, aware of, like, the extent of it. Mm-hmm. How did you think Matt handled talking to Anna?
I thought he handled it pretty well. What can you do, right? Like, it's really easy to just pretend like nothing's happening, but I think he really does care about the women in the house and wants to make it a good environment for them. Mm-hmm. And I think he liked Anna, but obviously not enough to look past this and, you know, to kind of use her as an example. Like, hey, if you're like this, you're not going to stay.
Yeah, he showed some grace to her, like saying, you know, you're not a horrible person. I've done things that I regret or said things I regret and learned from them. But like, I want to keep this a safe space for everyone, a good experience for everyone. And so I don't see us moving forward anymore. I don't think she was going to be, you know, his final rose either way. But yeah, it's not worth like exploring more with, you know, if people are going to feel uncomfortable and, you know, it's something that she can learn from. But yeah, they're not like each other's person right now. So.
No, but yeah. And I hope the best for Anna. I hope that she looks at this experience in a manner in which she learned a big lesson. Mm-hmm. And maybe, like, you know, be careful who you're talking to. And because I don't doubt for the second, because I've heard that, I think her name is Kaylee. She kind of was like, backed this up. She was maybe the original person to be like, oh yeah, I heard she's an escort. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Cause she's from Chicago also.
Yeah, they're all kind of in the Chicago club scene because Anna was a bottle girl at a Chicago club. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of all in this little weird semicircle. I don't know. I don't know. And I feel like she could be easily manipulated by the producers. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe she's not the most like reality TV savvy. Because we didn't really talk about it. We meant to. We forgot right off the top. But Dylan from Hannah's season?
Hannah Brown, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And engaged with Hannah, the other Hannah.
Hannah.
Yeah.
He kind of went on like a Twitter rampage a couple days ago. It's all deleted now.
Oh, is it?
Saying like, oh, I'll answer everything about The Bachelor you want to know. He didn't give any hot info, like nothing. Like, if you've been watching The Bachelor for a while, like, none of this is new information to you. No, I'm just kind of saying like, oh, it's all like manipulating and, you know, you say those things, but they make you say them and blah, blah, blah. And Jed got screwed over in the edit and he didn't cheat on him. I feel like Jed did not get screwed over in the edit. And he was like, oh, and he cheated. He didn't cheat on Hannah. Like, no, we all know he didn't cheat on Hannah.
Yeah, we never said he cheated
with Hannah.
Right. He cheated on, was it her name, Haley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Catherine Lowe on her Instagram stories today was, you know, answering questions. And a lot of people were kind of referencing this Twitter thing. And she's like, listen, yeah, they'll keep asking you things and try and get you to say something. But if you don't play into it, they'll stop asking you. And, you know, they can't make you say anything that or like put on TV anything that you didn't say. Like, they can't do that. Right. I mean, they sort of can.
They can slice things. They can take them out of context. But yeah, they, I think she was kind of like, you're all adults. You can make your own decisions about, you know, what you answer, what kind of things you want to instigate or not. So I just thought the whole thing was so funny that it was Dylan from Hannah Brown season.
Like, no one cares about Dylan.
He was so invisible. And then also he's like a success story of the show. He never had a bad edit. He was like the sweet guy that was just waiting around for Hannah G and was like smitten with her right away. So he actually like got an edit in VIP for being totally invisible. So he should have nothing against the producers. Like, they called him back for not being memorable, and he is engaged to, you know, Hannah G. So I had heard it was like to promote like that Jed has a podcast now or something.
I mean, are they just giving them away?
Yeah. Apparently anyone can start one, Haley.
We know that because we started one and we're nobodies. But I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, that was a strange little Bachelor Nation news story that came across. But.
It's hard for me. I don't know. I think we've just been in this for such a long time, and we've had the absolute delight of talking to people who've been on reality TV, and, you know, not just one show, but a couple different shows, and kind of getting their perspective. And like, we were told very early on by our good friend Randy that like, the producers are trying to mess with you. That's what their job is. Mm-hmm. So you can either play into it, or you can just go, oh, like, I'm not, like, that's none of my business. That's okay. And if you're not there for screen time, then who cares?
Right.
You know what I mean? If you are there to find a relationship with this person, you're not going to try and get the screen time or say something to, you know, get the producers like excited and put you on TV. Like, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people are there for that screen time. So that's the one thing that Dylan, I did see that he said, was like, you're rewarded with screen time if you play into it. So
if that's what you're there for, then you can't get upset when they show a bad side of you.
Right.
When you presented one.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So Anna is the one who gets sent off in the car. So like, I think in that car, she's just like, it's all sinking in, like, oh God, like, this is how, I can't believe how this is ending. Like, it's ending like this. It was more like, this is, it's not going to be good for me. Whereas with Victoria, she just, you know, was pissed and just wanted to like have her last word with Matt on the way out. But he first talks to Ryan, and that's where we learn that Victoria called Ryan a hoe because she's a dancer.
Yeah, and I guess if you are in a close group of friends and you are all like, I don't know, how do I go about this? Like, yeah, have I called one of my friends a hoe? Sure. Is it malicious? No. Is it I don't know. Is it with people that you can joke like that with? You know what I mean?
I mean, she probably said that to her like night one, like, oh, you're a dancer, you know,
must be a hoe. Like, yeah, it's just in especially probably these girls seeing how Victoria's acted with other girls, or, you know, hearing about it. You hear that from Victoria, you don't think it's fun and playful.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was hard to watch with Ryan's reaction and just, you know, letting Matt know about that. So then he has this conversation with Victoria. Meanwhile, we had seen her like melting down, like while she's waiting and after she talks with him, and we see her talking to producers, and she's just like in total disbelief. But she comes in there like, oh, I'm just really proud of how you're like handling the situation. Like, I think that's really great. I just want to promote peace. And you see his face crack a little bit. It's just like, okay, thanks. And then, but here's where the issue is. I don't know. It's just like, I don't know how he can keep a straight face talking to her.
I think he's just so tired and so done that it's just like, I don't want to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And he's probably upset because he did say like, oh, I thought Victoria had like a big heart. Like I enjoyed her.
Right. Why do you think he didn't send her out right then? Is that a producer driven, like, let's let her spin out a little more kind of thing?
Yeah, I would say.
Okay. So that she can be the last, like potentially the last rose called again. Cause everyone was like, okay, he can't keep Victoria. She, you know, cause she's been the last rose for so many times that they wanted like keep you guessing, I think, but this time she is not. He calls Brittany and Ryan first, and everybody picked up on that, his first two choices to get
good
roses.
I'm glad he did, and I wish he also called Catalina too, just for one more day.
I was bummed about that because I think she's started sinking in like, okay, well, he didn't call me third, so
I'm out.
Catalina, why didn't you go pull him aside, talk about the crown being taken? Maybe she did. We just weren't shown. So Brittany, then Ryan, then Rachel, then Serena P, Maggie, Kit, MJ. So MJ, like, I don't know if her name was thrown out there yet. Jasenia, Katie, Abigail, Chelsea, and then Serena C. That kind of surprised me as the last choice. I was thinking Lauren or Mari were two people that he had really caught his eye before, but they were both eliminated with Catalina and then Victoria as the last one.
I was really surprised about Lauren and Mari.
Yeah. I don't think we've seen much of a connection with Serena C, and she was kind of in that group of people, you know, not being cool with the new women as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder too, one thing, I think Dylan confirmed, but we already knew, like producer picks, like maybe they have they're like, well, if we're getting rid of Victoria, we have to keep MJ and
get some more, really.
Like, you know, cause why not keep Mari and Lauren, who aren't like bringing a ton, like at least Mari, we haven't seen a lot with, but he obviously liked them. So
yeah. Like I thought he was super interested in Mari. Didn't she get like didn't she win the one date, even though her team lost? Like she got to go on the thing anyway.
And then she was like the one where he was like, oh, I couldn't even speak to her. Like he was just like stunned when she got out of the limo. So it's weird to like show all that. And then like, she just fizzled out. Then we see Victoria. She just kind of tells him off at the end. Like, I cannot believe that you would. I feel bad for you because you would believe hearsay over someone, you know. So she just kind of leaves on that note. Then says she'll never date another Matt in her life.
Okay, then, Victoria. Enjoy.
Yeah. So we're on to the new dates. We get a couple toasts, you know, like toast to better things. Brittany gets to lead the toast and like hope we're turning a new page. And then we find out, so it's going to be one group date, two one-on-ones. So we're switching. It's the halfway point. We're getting to those like deeper connections. Still, there's a lot of people. I'm like, why haven't they had a one-on-one yet?
Mm-hmm. Who are you most surprised hasn't got a one-on-one yet?
Abigail.
Yeah.
And I think she is too. I feel bad for her.
Do you think, because Colton kind of talked about it in his NPR podcast where, you know, he really liked Cass, or he really liked Hannah G, and he wasn't getting dates with her. And then he realized that, and then once he started liking Cassie more, he realized that he still had to play up that Hannah G was his number one. So I wonder if Matt's like putting Abigail as one of his high ones.
Interesting. Yeah, but he wouldn't know to like not like to do it for strategy. He'd just be like, okay, I wonder why, like, because he's always asking like what to the women, like what can I do to like reassure you. It seems like he was kind of that way with Rachel last week. You know, he probably like put her up at the top, and then, you know, she doesn't get a date till this week, which seemed surprising. That's interesting, because that's another thing I did see with Sean and Catherine. It's like, you don't really have a say in who gets your the one-on-one dates. We always thought they had a little more say on that, but so Rachel gets the stereotypical spoiling date. How do you feel about these kind of dates? Like,
I feel like they're always setting the person who gets them up for failure.
Yeah.
But if I was on The Bachelor,
you'd want that one.
I'd want this one because obviously this dude's not going to pick me at the end because.
Yeah, I don't think they have a good track record. I think, well, Becca Kufrin got it, but, you know, she got picked, but then wasn't picked. Setting up rivalries or jealousy. Yeah.
But I love things, so I would absolutely want to be on this.
Yeah, some good. And I would share. Prizes.
I'd be like, yeah, give me all that stuff. And I'd be like, hey, BFF in the house. Here's this thing. Enjoy.
Yeah. I'm not going to wear this like orange tube dress. Here you have. So she was kind of caught off guard, I think, to have that type of date. Said it was like so not like her. What was funny to me is that he was like, I love her confidence. And then her like story with him was like, I'm just not confident. That was kind of the only big thing I picked up on. Now, it didn't seem like, it seems like they're really into each other, but it's like not exciting me. How do you feel?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. They're both kind of bland.
Yeah, there's not like,
I just don't find Rachel particularly exciting.
Yeah, like I'm more drawn in with like his chemistry with Michelle or how he can relate with Bree. I don't know. I just didn't see like a ton of like, even like with Sarah, who's gone now, like they have that total, like the chemistry was like really good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's the princess date. So they do the style thing. Were there any outfits that you especially liked?
No.
They seemed a little like,
I like the black and white dress, but not really my thing. I don't love ruching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seemed a lot of ruche.
Yeah. The shoes were probably the most exciting part. Everybody had to look at the bottom. The red bottoms. And then they already said, she already said she's falling in love with him, and he says it back.
Yeah.
This is their first date.
Sure, enjoy, but yuck.
And they got a horse-drawn carriage onto Nima Collin. So that was that date. She comes back. The girls like were not like they were jealous, like Serena.
But they weren't like mad at her.
No, they were like Serena P was like, you bitch, you know, but just like joking. And I think Rachel like seems very sweet and unassuming about it. Like she knew, like she kind of wanted to like sneak in kind of with them. I don't think she was the type that wanted to flaunt it. I still think it would have been hilarious if Kit had gotten it because
she'd be like, no, I'm okay. I don't wear.
Yeah.
Balenciaga.
Exactly. So then everyone's waiting for the group date card. They, because it will reveal who is getting the next one-on-one. So I was kind of surprised that it revealed that Kit was getting the second one-on-one.
Did you think there was a chance of her making it out of that one-on-one date?
I didn't. I thought, like, I don't know. Kit surprised me. I thought she seemed really down to earth, but that's just, it's kind of like night one, we saw one side of Kit and we got one impression of her and then it sort of went away. Like, remember when Chelsea on Ari's season, she was like a villain. Night one, she was the mom and saying all these like weird things, and then she was just like,
we never saw her again.
Never saw her again. She was like mild mannered and nice. So maybe it's that was the case. Like she just was sort of, they could portray her one way from her sound bites night one, but you know, maybe she's just sweet. I don't know. But maybe. I thought, yeah, that she was being set up for like, oh, okay, we're from two different worlds. I'm not going to fit into your lifestyle or just like something like that and be like the first person sent home. But yeah,
no, but they had a nice time.
Yeah. So everybody else gets to have the farm date, another staple. Seemed like they actually went to a farm off the property, or does Nima Collin have its own farm?
That is something I have not researched, nor will I research.
who is Farmer Ty? Is he a producer, or did they make a farmer get a COVID test and quarantine at McCollin for a week?
Ooh, good question.
I guess he could quarantine at his own farm, but like, I don't know. Yeah. So he said, Matt said that he grew up in North Carolina, so, and he worked on a farm when he was younger, and it wasn't like to the Chris Soules level of like what they had to do, but it didn't seem like they were properly dressed for this. I don't know. I'd be okay with this kind of date, because again, it's not like daring, or, you know, I think I could get through it, but I don't know. I'm not feeling particularly excited about, you know, watching a date like this. How do you feel?
Yeah. No, I'm kind of with you there. I'm kind of like over, like, let's make the girls like hang out and poo. And then it's
milk the goat. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Just, I'm kind of, oh, whatever. I did like kids' date. Like, you know, if you're not traveling to some extravagant location, let's hang out in your cool condo or whatever it is. Your cool.
Yeah, it's a whole estate. Yeah. Yeah. We always like those kind of dates.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
One thing I did like on the farm date that surprised me was, so MJ was like acting up, or someone was speculating that maybe she was acting up a bit to the camera, that she was afraid of chickens or doing things. And she was kind of like chasing Matt. And then he runs through a barn and he sees Piper in doing an interview. And she's like, oh, you're going to interrupt my interview. And he just like makes out with her. I thought that was kind of steamy.
I was like, ooh, because I feel like Piper is one of those ones who's really looking for some, like, just like a string to hold on to.
Yeah.
And Matt really gave her one there.
Yeah.
I like their chemistry, too. Like, he was so excited to see her. He was like, I don't care about these producers. Like, whatever, let's make out.
Yeah. Another, like, newbie move, I feel like, that is, like, refreshing. I think, like, Nick Viall would be like, oh, there's an interview happening over there. I'm going to go to this camera over here, you know, get my angles right. So, yeah. Oh, that reminds me. That was another. I did hear that he like is sort of like not Instagram official, but like has a girlfriend. That
oh, who's like 21 and a half?
I think so.
Yeah.
And then Hannah Brown has also been spotted with a Tyler Cameron lookalike. Have you seen like the side by side? They look so much alike. Crazy. So yeah, some blossoming relationships. But yeah, I really like that Matt did that. Seems like he's just having fun. He's living it up and letting the women know who he does like. So now we know, okay, Piper is up there on that list. So maybe another one that's just like, they're stringing these one-on-one dates out way too far.
It seems like she's getting a one-on-one next week.
I would hope so. Piper and Abigail, I think, have
Yeah, those
to.
Are the two I'm looking for.
Yeah. So later on, after the group date, they have kind of their... They go to, like, what must be a restaurant on property. I'm really liking how it's gives that feel that they're, like, in L.A. going somewhere or whatever city they might have traveled to. So they can really make it look like... Okay, they're going to a new place. So they walk in, they're all dressed up, cute coats on. And he made like a little moment outside by the fire for Chelsea. What'd you think of that?
I really liked it. He really likes Chelsea. He pulled her away right away. He was like, and Chelsea, come on, let's go.
Mm-hmm. I like that, where it's like, okay, he's calling someone first instead of like the women all pouncing and deciding, you know, I'm going to be the one that grabs him. So he had that little thing planned. Abigail, we saw a lot of her feeling, you know, really worried that she's like fading into the background. And I think rightfully worried, because it is strange for the first impression rose person to not be like, get a date, at least, you know, mm-hmm. by week three, I feel like. So, but she opens up to him about her dad walking out on their family, seemed like when they were really young.
Oh, devastating.
Like, because they are deaf? Was that what
I don't know. I don't know, because it sounded like it was after, like, just after they got their cochlear implants.
Yeah. And she opened up about feeling worried, or that he might worry that their kids could be deaf. So it's just something to be aware of. And he really appreciated that she opened up, and she does eventually get the group date rose. And then another interesting development, I feel like, because usually we talk about that first one-on-one date, but because the women came in late, Michelle is like that another person that has that same experience where she only had the one-on-one.
Yeah.
And now she's like, oh, group dates? What's this? Like, she was having a hard time.
Yeah, it didn't let it sound like the other girls wanted to hear about that.
Yeah. Like, oh, problem. You just got your one-on-one right away. You waltzed in here. Yeah, I don't think they were that sympathetic to it. But yeah, it makes sense. Like, to like just come in, you have this great date, and then you're like, oh, wait a minute. So yeah, maybe because Bree didn't seem like to be as affected about it, they're like, okay, let's see if we can recreate this with somebody else. How do you think Michelle's going to handle it for the rest of how long she's there?
I think she'll be fine. I think she'll kind of find her bearings and be chill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Matt calls MJ to talk to her, because he said, like, I need to find out. Like, I've heard her name a little bit, so I want to find out if she was involved in this. So it could have been that he heard about it at the cocktail party before, mm-hmm. and just decided to, like, give her a chance later on. But MJ was just, like, all over the place. Like, she's the one that I'm most surprised about from just, you know, we just take our first impressions based off of their bio and their picture, but Chris Harrison had called her, like, a hype woman, so I thought she was going to be, like, the supportive woman that's like, yeah, go enjoy your date, and like kind of just like everyone's BFF, and like she just like struck me as like, you know, she's the hairstylist I thought she was just gonna be. But yeah, she's not taking kindly to Jesenia saying anything about her to Matt, that she started the JV varsity comment, which isn't even that bad.
I don't think it's that bad, but I found MJ to be kind of, like, vicious.
Yeah, like, way too defensive about it, and then just, like, not reflecting on anything, not admitting to anything. Just really intense. Yeah, vicious, I think. I lead by example. I don't even know what that means. What is she, what's her example?
Yeah, and then she did the classic thing of later when they get their, like, weird two-on-one. Okay, I'm over this, like, impromptu two-on-one date, by the way.
Me too. Like, the producer that came up with this is probably like, oh, this is genius. Like,
it was great that first time.
Yeah, and we don't need this anymore. Like, I want a real two-on-one or nothing. Like, make it a date card, a real date card, not some, like, meet us an hour before. I'm over it. Yeah.
Yeah. It felt very, what was his name? Yosef, where MJ like went on for 20 minutes about how she leads by example, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And then when Jesenia was like, okay, my turn to talk, here's my opinion. She's like, no. And then she's like, stop talking over me. And Jesenia's like, I'm just like trying to talk.
Right. And then like in her ITMs being like, you picked the wrong woman to mess with kind of attitude. And yeah.
Can you hear my cat?
Is he scratching?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go close him out. He's like trying to get in the vent.
Oh, Jasper.
Whiskey, you gotta go. You can't scratch. Goodbye.
I thought maybe if I left the door slightly open, he'd like come in and like lay on my lap and snuggle. No. But like now he's like, there's a vent. Can I be in that?
Yeah. Just wants to know the hot goss going on The Bachelor.
He loves hot goss.
Yeah. So yeah, we get this lame 2-on-1 that we'll see later, but yeah, we don't really see Matt talking to Jesenia at all, which I thought was interesting. So I don't know how much longer we'll be seeing Jesenia. But I don't know. What's your prediction for this 2-on-1? Is he going to let them both go? Is he going to pull a Peter?
Well, I just feel like Jesenia didn't really do anything.
No, she didn't do anything wrong. It's just, I'm thinking from the edit standpoint, like, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I don't really see her sticking around for a while.
Yeah. So Kit's date, she was really excited when she got the, kind of emotional actually, when she got the date card, like, come to my place. She's like, oh, what if it's cooking? Because I told him that, like, cooking is the thing that my mom and I have together. And, you know, she called it. Like, that's the date that he had planned for her.
Yeah, wonderful. I'm glad she had a good time.
Baking, he says he has dessert first. From the looks of his charcuterie boards that he's been putting together, seems that way as well. Like, he's got the Little Debbie's appetizers going on last night. Do you advocate for that as well?
In a restaurant, I'm probably not going to order dessert first. Mm-hmm. When I get Subway, I do get the M&M cookies and eat them alongside my sub.
Yeah.
But I do believe I get to have dessert after every single meal.
Me too. Definitely.
Like, including breakfast. Like, I want breakfast dessert.
So that's where the eating dessert first could be a problem, because then I could be like, oh, but I need the dessert after the meal too.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it is. I'm I'll just have a nice mid-afternoon dessert and then I won't have anything after dinner. Like, no, that's not happening. Doesn't work.
No. We have Culver's here, so it's like custard. They're like custard fast food places. It's like a hamburger place, but then they have, instead of soft service, more like, it's a little richer, I guess. So they have their homemade custard. But if you go through the drive-through and you get custard, they'll give you that at the window, and then you like pull up and wait for your food. So it's like, okay, I have to eat this now. Like, it's gonna melt.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So that's kind of. Like, okay, eat the custard first. So that's when I always do that one.
That seems reasonable to me.
Yeah. I think McDonald's would do the same thing. You have, but they just give you all your food. So, but you have to eat the ice cream right away. Yeah. So the only thing I'd say about this date, though, is like something seemed off in like their conversational. Like, seemed like he didn't get, like, when she would say something, like she said something like, he said, like, what does that look like? And she said, tonight. And he's like, no, I mean, like, they didn't quite, like, conversationally connect. Like, he didn't understand what she was saying. So it took a little bit. So maybe that is, like, a little more clunky with them. And we didn't see a ton with them. But they were also, like, making out. Like, he had her on the counter. So he's into her. I just don't know.
I forget she's 21.
21.
I read an interview and she's, like, a university senior.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, she talked about like being in the public eye. So, I mean, I had never heard of her, but I've heard of her mom. And so I would think in those circles, she's definitely in the public eye. So it does make sense that like cooking is like the thing that's like, okay, this is the thing I can have with my mom and nobody else is like trying to get her attention. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah, she definitely seems older. She comes off older and more mature. So I'm like turning around on her. I wasn't sure about her night one. And it does seem like she, you know, she was kind of involved in the bullying, but I think she released some kind of apology like publicly. And it seemed like she did. A lot of these women like were apologizing after Matt like made his announcement, but she seemed like more sincere about it. I'm not sure, though.
We'll see.
Yeah. To be seen.
I'm not like totally sold on her yet, but I really like looking at her face.
Yeah. So then we get the date card. It says, MJ and Jesenia, I need to know the truth. So they have a whole little like stage thing of them walking out. Like they're, I don't even know, like just both walking separately, rolling their suitcase, and like they're going to like the death match or something. And just get in the car, they go on either side, stone faced, and yeah, then they're just kind of yelling at each other, mainly MJ, and Jesenia just saying like, okay, you lied about it, and we'll see how this goes. And it's to be continued.
Who could have guessed that?
Yeah. So Matt comes in. I don't know. I think it'll be like, it's like a Noah and Bennett, like the one who's going to be like more, I think MJ's going to go and Jesenia will get to stay.
Yeah.
So again, these are a little awkward when we don't end on a rose ceremony, but it just seems to be the rhythm of what they're doing. Let's get into questions from the audience. So we have Will Harrington. Where does, in what context would calling someone a hoe be acceptable to be taken in rank among great one-liner mic drops such as I had sex and Jesus still loves me?
I do like this, and I like that Matt was so quick with it, and he was serious with it, and it kind of caught her off, it caught Victoria off guard. Because I think he was right. It's like, okay, well, tell me the context then. You say I heard it out of context. Well, what's the context? Tell me.
Right. Yeah. Very quick with it. I think Hannah B still had the better line, but yeah, it's up there. Mackenzie Beyonce Harms, great name. Is the shopping date just intended to make the other girls jealous? It seems to serve no purpose in terms of furthering their relationship as a couple, but they always show the woman coming back with tons of shopping bags with the other women just sitting there having to watch it happen. Also, can you imagine a greater nightmare than having to try on clothes for someone you are just starting to date?
Yeah, that's fair. I'd be like, really, can you wait outside the other room while I choose everything? Thank you.
Yeah, it's, the problem is, it's like, it's not fun really for the guy, like, because we're not seeing like all the waiting time. Like, it takes a while to get in some of those get-ups, and then, you know, making sure, like, I'm sure some of those didn't fit her exactly right, and so they didn't show those ones. And yeah, it's just like not a great date activity. I think they did it well on Peter's season when it was like a runway thing. All the women had to pick their outfits, and then it was like, oh, who's gonna win? It created drama with Hannah Ann winning. So I think that works. Like, she got to take home all those clothes, and you know, I think that's probably the way to do it, because they're always going to create ways that they, you know, they give them binoculars in their room, so they're always trying to make them jealous. But yeah, I don't think we get to see as much of a connection in that, because it's not like he's in there like helping her try them on. Sean McHale, is there any possibility that producers realized after proceeding to force Matt to give Victoria a rose week after week, which led to the toxic environment that the mansion became, they maybe should back off a little bit on the manipulation and let some natural love form through? Or will they just revive Victoria next week and look like hypocrites for having Matt force out Anna unceremoniously for at least admitting her faults?
Yeah, I will say, I'm like, as much as MJ probably was involved in all of this, like, I'm annoyed now that Victoria's gone. It's like, okay, let's be mad at MJ. And then if she leaves, then who are we? Then who's going to be the new villain? Like, I don't need a villain. Like, I'm done with villains. I'm done with it.
Yeah, there's enough like jealousy of like, and drama from just like who the front runners are and things like that. Like, they tried to make Nick the villain for just like trying to get time, you know, so they can do it with other types of, you know, other ways, like, and we can read through it and say like, okay, this person's not really a villain, but yeah, we don't need someone just being mean. Ava Pickett, do you guys consider yourself the varsity squad or JV?
I think we can both agree that we're JV.
That's what I would say.
Like, isn't the wrap-ups
JV?
Yeah.
Don't say we're bullying anyone else on our hapups, but you know, it's not the main feed. Like, we're, you know, we can like come on the main feed at certain times, but
yeah,
fill in. We'll pinch in. Yeah, we'll come off the bench. We're not on the bench, we're playing. We're
just we just haven't nailed down our back tucks yet, so yeah, we can't be on the varsity squad.
But we're the OGs of the JV.
Yeah, we're like smoking in the back, like
we're like, oh wait, we didn't graduate yet. We're still here.
What do you mean I'm on?
6-year seniors.
Yeah.
Justin Feinberg, who had a worse experience the night of a group date? MJ because she got labeled an antagonist. Or yeah, that was I guess the other thing that she was called. Or Rachel because she had to spend an entire day in a hotel with only Kit to talk to.
To be fair, I feel like you could also reverse that with Kit only having Rachel to talk to, because like they're both a little of no one to me, but I feel like Kit would be more interesting to talk to.
Yeah. They seemed like they were getting along, so they could be friends. I'm kind of curious like who the friend groups really are. But yeah, they're both like not really like that bad. Like an antagonist. I don't know. I guess that's worse than coming up with the term JV versus varsity. Allison Daubertine, Haley, we need you to comment on Matt's charcuterie board skills.
I mean, it's hilarious to me that he like took this joke and now he's running with it. And this week, I believe it was him, right? He had like the actual board itself was a giant cookie that said, "Learn to kiss with your eyes closed."
Right.
Like, that's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Good on him.
And like, I think every week he spells like charcuterie like more ridiculously.
Listen, he's having fun with it. I'll let him have a nice time.
Yeah. So then, let's see if we have any. I don't even really want to see, but we do have draft results. So Mari Talks Too Much at Mari Talks Too Much leads with 102, but only gained 7 points and lost 2. See, she's holding steady, even though like she just came out really strong. Lost 2 people. Yeah, she had Mari, so she lost Mari. And let's see, who else did she have? I think she had Lauren, too. No, you had Lauren. You lost Lauren and Victoria.
Oh, I had Victoria.
Oh, Mari had Anna. Yeah, you had Victoria. Because you knew like that you'd get points from her.
Yeah. Those don't feel like satisfying points.
Yeah, now that we know that she wasn't just like ridiculous. She was like mean. I didn't lose anybody. Wow, that's the first.
Look at you go.
I have 21 points and I'm at 76 points. You lost 2 people and you're up 18 points to reach. So we're, you and I are neck and neck for that second spot. Yeah, the second spot. I don't know if the listeners gained much. They're at 25, so steadily going up.
Looks like they're gonna get someone else on their team too.
Oh yeah, previews. A white car drives up, talks to security. I need to talk to Chris Harrison immediately, and it's Heather from Colton season. Ugh. Why?
I'm so bored.
Yeah, I don't think we need all this, like all these interruptions. How many people do you think they contacted to say like, hey, do you want to show up on this season to 30. Get down to Heather?
You know what? I'm not even sure. Cause
or did she reach out? She just has to date Matt. Are you interested to see, like, has she kissed anyone else? Is this like she's going for her second kiss? Or
if I never saw Heather again, I wouldn't remember. I'd be like, whom's is that?
Exactly. Yes. So that's where we are at. Did you get any takes from Doug this week?
He did have a few.
All right.
Hopefully Doug starts enjoying the episodes more now that like Victoria's gone. Hopefully
all of us.
Hopefully it'll be a warmer experience for all of us involved. He said, my first take for the week is just the above idea that Amy hosting and you being all the supporting characters in Jasper, as it, you know, for The Bachelor. Although I have heard now that that might be in jeopardy going to Jasper Park Lodge.
Why?
Because of Canada's new rules.
Oh,
wow. I don't know. We'll see. He says, I've been to the JPL. Do you think this qualifies me to be contested on the season of The Bachelorette? Absolutely, Doug. I feel like there's no better time than the present.
Get that application in.
Get it in. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if everyone who said mean things then had to admit to getting a sad rash like Anna did?
I'm getting a rash. That's how bad I feel.
I get that anxiety rash. Little heat rash right on the chest.
Yeah, I get that, like, nervous. Yeah, definitely. I don't know if I draw attention to it. I try to, like,
no, I would not
bring a scarf along.
Be like, do not look at me. What's more believable, that Matt purchased any of the gifts for Rachel or that Farmer Todd is not just an intern? I don't know. Maybe he is an intern.
I mean, he had farmer vibes. He wasn't like hamming it up, but he was probably like,
hey, Sean, you're from Ohio.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, get in the outfit.
Prove yourself.
Here's the new definition of privilege. You consider your life to be hard because of the wealth and fame you have grown up with. You then feel it's tough for you to drop your walls with eligible partners because you're always in the public's eye. So you get your designer mom to pull a few strings and get you on a primetime dating show. And then when other people face the real consequences of bullying, you offer an apology that sounds like it was delivered by Siri with no consequences whatsoever. I mean, everybody's going through their own thing, but it was a little tough to hear Kit say how hard her life was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, everyone goes through their own things, so.
Right.
Did anyone else notice the half pipe ramp outside Matt's house? When are we getting a skateboard date? Do you think Matt tried to pitch producers on having the entire season at Woodward Camp, which is also in Pennsylvania? I did notice the half pipe. Both Ethan and I were like, what's that? Show me some moves.
Yeah, I didn't notice
I think the week where he's like, well, Chris Harrison's playing all my dates now, Matt was like, okay, skateboarding. And they're like, no, you almost killed Brie on the ATV.
Yeah. yeah, he's a big skateboarder, isn't he?
I guess so, yeah. I mean,
what doesn't he do? And then looks like Tyler is there next week. Didn't look like he was super involved. He was just like playing pool with him. Like, I think he's just like crashing on the couch again.
Yeah. Did you think maybe he was never going to be seen?
I knew he was reported being seen there, so I have to think that they would show him, but it was like, I was surprised it wasn't like early on.
Yeah.
What do you think he'll come around for a date, or is he just gonna be in the background hanging with
Matt? Background, I think. You don't want the girls being like, can I date?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I think now we see that, you know, of this buddy buddy pair, I think Matt is who I'd go after for sure.
Ooh, interesting.
No?
I don't know.
All right. We'll see. We'll see what happens next week. But I think that could be interesting, though, if he did host a date to kind of like give his impression to Matt and see how the girls react. You know, can they hang? Can they be cool? They're not going to, can they not ask about Gigi? Everyone, you know? Yeah.
So, last, I'm trying to explore some of the more interesting corners of my wardrobe for my morning Zoom meetings at work. Do you think I could ever pull off the outfit Ty Hunter was rocking? Doug, I don't see why the heck not.
Hmm. Yeah, or the jacket that Matt was given too. Like,
I aggressively hated that jacket.
Me too. What was going on there?
It was like they had the, like, the waist cincher that drag queens use, but it wasn't like, it didn't look nice.
Yeah, it's just strange. I don't know what they're going for with that, but I'm glad he didn't have to end up wearing that to the anywhere. So all right, Haley, anything else from this episode that we didn't get to? Anyone giving you Bachelorette vibes? Anyone you wish we saw more of?
I don't know. Like, I'm not yet willing to commit to a Bachelorette pick.
Yeah. There's still, like, ones I would really like. So it's always nice when there's more than one that you could see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unlike last year when we were like, oh God, who is going to be a bachelorette? And when they can play, we're like, oh, amazing. Yes, of course.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm looking at Mari's top two picks, Bree, Serena P. I would love either of them. Haley, you have Chelsea as your top pick.
Yeah, she'd be great. Yeah, here's who I'd like. I'd like Bree, Serena, Kayla, let's get her back.
Yeah, take people that they eliminated.
Chelsea, Katie, Abigail, Maggie? Like, let's get Maggie in. Like, that would be a fun season.
That'd be really fun.
Let's get Alicia back, the professional ballet dancer. Like, what is she? Oh, let's get her back.
Yeah, exactly.
Michelle, if they don't end up together.
I know.
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of options here.
Definitely.
Okay, hear me out. Mm-hmm. Five leads.
Hey, they've got to mix it up. We're still in quarantine. So yeah. Let's have five leads and instead of like five people coming late.
Yeah.
Let's surprise the men. But I know we didn't like it when it was Caitlin and Britt.
That was only because one of them was going home at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And all the power was in the guy's hand.
Right.
If we had a whole season of Caitlin and Britt, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe I'm just looking back on that with revisionist history, but I think I'd be more okay with it.
Yeah, I think so too. Yep. Well, Haley, where can people find you? Have you had any other appearances lately that people should check out? Any blogs?
Not last week, but I think this week, I think I'm doing the Jordan Kayla show.
Ooh.
Like Twitch the competition.
I thought he had a new talk show for a minute there.
No, can you imagine? Maybe. Maybe it's something he can look into. Maybe I'm being punked about it. I don't know. What else? I think Matt Ligori and Brian Scally and a stand-in for Colin are going to record something on Friday about the challenge We Want OGs cast.
Oh, okay.
And then I think next week I'm going to be on Kirsten McInnes's live stream on Thursday about dating.
Ooh.
So that sounds fun.
That sounds really fun.
Amy, yes. I heard rumors that you are going to be on another podcast this week.
I am. I'm going to be on the Movie Ladder podcast with Zach Brooks. And I'm going to be recording also. I'm actually on two podcasts this week.
What?
Yes. Aisha and I are going to be recording about Married at First Sight.
Amazing. Yay, yeah. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yes. So, yeah, that's exciting.
I can't wait to listen to those.
Yeah. I can't wait to figure out how I'm going to fit these in. I'm used to recording once. This is a lot of stress, I'm thinking.
I know. And the homework of having to watch a movie beforehand, too.
I know. This is like classing me up a little too much to like watch like a classic movie. Like, that's in like top 100 list, like what? But because it's a romantic comedy, I said, okay, I can do it.
I believe in it.
Yeah. So, and maybe I'll suggest another rom-com. Maybe they'll pick another rom-com next week. And then I'll say, hey, give Haley a call because.
I mean, I will say Zach did give me a call and say, hey, do you want to do this? And I said, check with me later.
Right.
And then he checked on me later and I said, I'm not watching a movie before Wednesday, my friend.
Yep.
I'm movie averse.
I know. So I'm going to like think about my suggestions because I know the only types that might get you to do it. So
like, yeah, preferably one I've seen before. So right? I can just like watch it while I play Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing the movie.
Animal Crossing the movie. What a great time that would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Work on your screenplay.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah, stay tuned for that, everybody. The Movie Ladder podcast. And then sometime this week on the wrap up feed, we'll have a Married at First Sight check in on how the season's been going so far. Everyone actually got married, so they've gone that far.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. Yeah. I'm going to listen to this podcast and then
decide if you want to watch.
And then I'm going to get, no, I'm probably going to be like, yeah, I'm going to watch it. And then I'm going to get addicted.
That's the goal.
Like, I don't have like a middle ground. Mm-hmm. I only have an on and off switch.
Right.
Like, we started Superstore like a week or two ago, and we're on season 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, there's some shows where I'm like, I'm just not going to start it yet, because I know, like, I don't want to, like, I can't commit to that right now, you know?
Yeah.
So
I have a tendency to just barrel through things.
Mm-hmm. But I've started like a list in my phone. That's why I like when we like share, like, here's some things to watch, because I get to them eventually, or I'll, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm in the mood to start something new. And it's like, I feel like I have this thing to kind of keep me where I'm not going to get to that place of last March or April when everything was horrible. And I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, now I'm like figured out, like, okay, I always have a list of something I can go to that will be, people say is good, or, you know, so yeah. Or that there's podcasts waiting for me about it. Like, you can always check it out, but yeah. So what have you been watching lately, or has it just been Animal Crossing?
Superstore. I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing. There's a couple seasons of America's Next Top Model on American Netflix.
Okay.
There's just something about America's Next Top Model. Oh, I cannot stop watching it.
And have you watched these seasons before and you just like go back to them?
Those ones I have not. There only seems to be 2 seasons on Netflix, and I had not watched either of them.
Nice. Yeah, that's a really addicting show. Like, you can just power through. I like how you can have like the visual thing to judge against, plus all the drama.
Yeah, and it's
the makeovers. That was my favorite.
Like, no wonder I had such bad self-esteem in high school, because I watched so much America's Next Top Model, Canada's Next Top Model, Australia's Next Top Model, Britain's Next Top Model. That was the heyday of like all of those TV shows being on YouTube without like the copyright claims.
Right. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, you're gorgeous, but we have to give you a makeover.
Yeah. And then it was always like shit makeovers.
Yeah.
I can't stop watching that show. What else did we watch? Just like the usual, like, British panel show circuit. Mm-hmm. We always watch, you know. Oh, I did watch 5 episodes of the new season of Drag Race yesterday.
Oh, nice.
So I'm all caught up on that. The cast is great. I have been keeping up with Drag Race UK. That's a thrill for me. I love an English accent.
Yeah, nice. I've been watching The Hustler still. I'm still into that. And Rob and Taryn did a podcast about it, so that's fun. And it's kind of like that whodunit kind of but game show trivia thing. And then watching The Masked Dancer, but I kind of just fast forward, and I just want to know like who is in the mask at the end. But then of course listening to whenever Puya and Liana podcast about it as well. They kind of doing little check-ins here and there too.
I heard that Elizabeth Spart was one of the masked dancers.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. A shock.
I know. Crazy. Crazy.
I hope she's doing well, man.
Yeah, I mean, that was intense to like see that and be like, okay. Felt a little exploitive, but she made the choice. She wanted to do something fun. But yeah.
I was listening to Who Weekly, and they were talking about that. And I guess they called her, and she thought that they made a mistake and accidentally called her instead of calling Julianne Hough.
Oh.
Because I guess there's only 3 people in Utah who are famous.
Like, now it's a different blonde that you maybe wanted.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. They had like all these clues, like the White House and stuff at first. So I was like, I was convinced it was Monica Lewinsky, and that kind of made more sense to me.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I had a scandal. I'm like, well, it's not a scandal. I mean, they made it seem like there was a scandal.
They made it seem like a scandal. That's like she was 12.
Yeah. It was like, but I guess it was more like headlines, but it's like, I just don't want to think about it in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's, and then they had Brian McKnight, like, who's someone that they always guess on Masked Singer. But so he was like, well, I didn't want to be like obviously guest, so I'm going to dance instead. I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to go about it, because I don't like when they're obvious.
Yeah.
And then they had a guy from Jersey Shore, Vinny.
Oh, I like Vinny.
Yeah.
He's my favorite Jersey Shore person.
Yeah, he was fun. He was a fun hammerhead shark.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So it's just so weird. It like seems like a fake show, but. Mass Bachelor coming next.
Well, that's Mr. Personality, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. They've done it before. And hosted by Monica Lewinsky. So
it all comes back to Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. All right, Haley. Well, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram @8strong_.
And you can find me on Twitter @RGP Recapper. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.